Welcome, everybody, to episode 321 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by John James Jacoby.
I knew you were going to do that. Thanks.
Really?
Thanks, Jeff Chandler.
Oh, thank you. That's not bad. That's pretty good. How's your week going so far, man?
Week is okay. Carrie's gone, so it's a sad, lonely week with me and the puppies, but she's in Portland at Support Driven. Is an expo that's going on out there, so I'm keeping track of the dogs and trying to
you're probably keep doing things in the house we haven't been able to do since she's been there. So
like and we don't, like we don't... Eat nothing but pizza. Yeah. That's all that I'm doing.
Oh, okay.
I had to drop her off in O'Hare, and so we dropped at Giordano's. So we brought back, you know, half a pizza, which was 10 pounds of pizza. And so I'm just surviving off of leftover Giordano's now until she gets back on Saturday.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. So there's a huge weekend that just took place in the WordPress world. It was WordCamp Europe, and we're going to try and recap it to two guys who stayed here in the U.S. who just followed the hashtag are going to try and recap it. But we also have a secret weapon, and it is Milan Ivanovic. Yes. Yeah, see that? He lives and breathes WordPress. He's the WordPress.org global translation editor. He is the lead for WordPress Serbia and a WordCamp Europe organizer. He's also a lecturer at the WordPress Academy in Serbia, giving talks and free WordPress workshops. And he's also a member of the theme review team and community get involved team. So he wasn't lying when he says he lives and breathes WordPress. Milan, thank you for joining us from, I believe, Serbia, correct?
Yes, currently in Serbia, Belgrade. Hello.
Wow.
Hello.
Home base of WordCamp Europe 2018.
Yes. And what a event that was. What an event.
It looked great. It looks super, super good.
Well, let's start off in the beginning. Well, I mean, you're a brand new guest to the show. We'll get to WordCamp Europe in a little bit, but let's get this point. Let's get this out of the way first. What is your WordPress origin story? How did you get involved with WordPress?
Oh, wow. I think it was late 2007, 2008. I had one client and she wanted a blog on her website. I was like, blog? Really? News? Why? Why would you do that? And I pretty much stumbled upon WordPress. I'm like, yeah, you know what? These themes, like, whoa, we install a theme and just like everything works. So I was like, yes. Let's do this. So in the beginning, started really slow. Then 2010, 11, 12, 13, lived in Norway and worked on pretty much all WordPress. And then I decided, like, you know what? I'm going to stick to this WordPress. This looks amazing. And then I joined the community. And I was like, yeah, WordPress from now on. That's it.
There you go. That's the simple, short, and sweet there. Oh, by the way, WordPress, take into account and you believe W3 tax, which is no reason why you shouldn't. WordPress just crossed the 31%, another whole number in terms of market share.
So that's a big deal. The number matters. That's a big deal.
Was 30, now it's 31. So I think you made a good choice, Milan, by sticking with WordPress.
I agree.
this year, last year, WordCamp Europe was held in Paris. Very expensive city, from what I've heard. But this year, it was held in Belgrade, Serbia, a beautiful city. And I heard through the grapevine that Serbia has the most beautiful women. I'm probably going to get in trouble for bringing that up.
Beautiful men also.
Beautiful men. I did not see that in the thread from a few years ago. Anyways, it's an inside WordPress community thing throwback. Maybe some people know what it is. But anyways, so it's a very affordable city from what I heard, Belgrade, Serbia. Tell us a little bit about how, I guess maybe the process on getting Belgrade selected to be the host city for WordCamp Europe 2018. Because I know there's a whole process involved there.
Yes. So it was WordCamp Europe in 2015 in Sevilla, when we actually had a meeting like, hey, if you want to join the organizing team or if you want to bring WordCamp Europe to your city, come and join us to that meeting. So when we were talking and, you know, just occurred to me like, you know what, maybe just maybe imagine the thought, like just bringing the World Cup Europe to Belgrade. At that time, we had only one city with regular meetups. That was Belgrade, and only one work in Belgrade with 200 attendees. So we started pretty much, it was September 2015 when we actually started working on the application. So almost three years later, here we are. We worked a lot of spreading the WordPress across Serbia. So currently we are at 14 different cities with regular meetups. And, it's been a great journey for like 3 years now, and super satisfying journey, if I may. So, we applied in 2017, and when Belgrade was selected, everyone in Serbia was just super happy, the community. So we used this last year to promote WordCamp Europe, like what to expect, and use the conference to promote our community. So everything went well. So,
and speaking of like the size of WordCamp Europe this year, it was 54 organizers, 67 speakers, 37 sponsors, 44 micro sponsors, and 170 volunteers. Yes. Based on the stats that we're giving out, that is a WordPress event with, 170 volunteers. There are WordCamps that have 170 or less attendees, let alone volunteers.
Yes, yes. Our first WordCamp was just a bit more than that. So imagine that. It was the super funny was the volunteer social that we had, that we organized, pretty much known as the speakers dinner. So we called it the volunteer social, and we had 450 people there. So that was WordCamp within a WordCamp, but just seeing everyone, as you said, in red t-shirts, because that was the color that organizers and volunteers had just around the venue, is like, yes, look at it. It's the army of people.
So as an organizer of an event this large, how important was it, and maybe you could tell us a little bit of background on the communication between you, your responsibilities, delegations, and making sure everybody was on the same page?
Yeah. So, Jeff, we had 11 different teams. I was leading the local team, and communication, the amount of work and passion that we put in is just, beyond imagination. So we had Slack, B2, Trello, everything, just go a lot of information floating around. We had this year on local team, we also had a bit of a, let's say, good pressure, because people never visited Serbia, never visited Belgrade, so we had a lot of questions about that as well, like, hey, what to expect, what will they see, the community, and all those questions. Just it was a long and super satisfying event preparing the event. So a lot of things floating around,
and being the leader of the organizing team, being there local, it's pretty special when there's a WordCamp nearby me and a lot of people are coming from out of town visiting the area. It must have been super cool to have 2,000 people descend upon Belgrade and you guys essentially get, just show them around, tour them and say, hey, look at our beautiful city.
Yes, yes. So, and that was the feeling that you when you have like WordCamp US, WordCamp Europe, and you just go around the city and you see like, hey, WordPress people. But it's completely different when you just wander around your own city and you meet those people. That's like an amazing, amazing feeling. So you don't expect that. And a lot of people used so people used that opportunity to come a bit earlier than the event, spent the full week, and we still have a lot of people in Belgrade and Serbia.
They don't want to leave.
They don't want to leave. They want to leave.
They want another after party.
Oh, the after party was awesome.
So tell us a little bit about that after party, because from what I saw, some of the videos featured a band, and from what I've seen, a lot of people said that was one of the best bands they've seen.
Yes. So, we started that one with IDEA. So, band is pretty much our friends here in Serbia, and they're like pretty much the most famous band here in Serbia, and they're really good. And we had to do like the proposal, because when you're introducing something to our city, so that was our idea to bring the live band, and everyone, I would say everyone trusted us, but they were a bit skeptical, you know, just like, okay, so live band, like, are you sure what kind of music they're gonna play and such. So we joked around and trolled a lot, saying like, you know what, Serbian folk music, you're gonna listen to a lot of Serbian folk music. So that did not happen. They died. They rushed it. And you know, it was even for them. I talked with them after everything's done. Like, you know, that happened to them, like for the first time, that the crowd actually shouting their name, like Loco band. So the guys finished playing, and the crowd went with "We Want More" like two or three times, and everyone's like, "Wow." So it was really good.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to some of the videos. I heard "Highway to Hell" and "Woohoo." That song where they do the "Woohoo." You know, everybody was getting into it. They were really involved. And in fact, DeVries, who's supposed to be on the show today, he's actually a little under the weather. He has what they call a post work camp illness. Yes. But he also lost his voice, so must have been he's a. Too much partying, but a lot of speaking. I mean, that's what happens over a course of an event where it's a lot of speaking, just over the intercoms or whatever. You have to deal with your loss of voice, but I hope he gets better soon. Yeah. And yeah, where came your, so looking at all the pictures, John, did you start crying? Did you get FOMO? Did you start having withdrawals or, you know?
I did have quite a bit of it, actually, mostly about contributor day, because there wasn't a lot that came out of the echo chamber just because of the Wi-Fi, I think. You have everyone on contributor day that's like grunt installing or NPM pulling in everything. Yeah. It's going to kill the network, I think, pretty quickly. But that was the really, truly the FOMO that I had, because I knew that there were a bunch of people working on multi-site stuff, and I knew they weren't going to be able to dump that back out into Slack. And you know, the talks are always good, but you'll catch those later on. It's literally the in-person contributor day stuff where I'm like, oh, it's so I'm missing out on so much good discussion and hanging out that there was no tears. I generally am not a very emotional person, but I did have some pretty severe FOMO on contributor day. And I thought the day after contributor day thing that you guys did was really, really smart to give the overflow on the next day. I thought that was a really good idea.
Yeah, as you were talking about, there's a space that was set aside for people to actually continue contributing. You know, the work that they already started at contributor day. And I saw a photo of that, and it was actually getting quite a bit of use actually the day after contributor mm-hmm. day. So it was, yeah. It was pretty cool to see.
That was one of the many things that we introduced that one of the community teams introduced this year. So we had our meeting point, let's say in the center of the venue. We had our warm hall where we had a get involved table, happiness bar, PHP 7 upgrade table, info desk, and there was the entrance to the community room. And just as you said, like for both days of the conference, people actually used it really, and that was super. Everyone's super happy on the team because that was the new thing for WordCamp Europe, and just seeing people that they contributed, they continued with contribution was amazing. So.
So actually, what ended up happening with the Wi-Fi? Was it just simply overusage, just an outage, or?
Oh, so everything. So from the organizers, point of view, like everything is set, we are there, and just some, you know, the guys promised that they will handle as many requests as, you know, 500 people, 500 plus people actually contributing. Everything was running smoothly, and then at some point, access point just starting shutting it down, like one another just slaughtering each other. So yeah, we had I think 4 or 6 engineers from Netcast, from the company that were providing Wi-Fi, and their you know their headquarters, their main office was in Sava Center, our main venue. So they were like talking to each other. We had our team there covering, and they were trying to fix because it was super cheap for people to get the 4G card, a 4G SIM card, and there were like a lot of hotspots. People just starting using those. And as I understood, and I'm not the expert in that area, I think that there was some interference in frequency or whatever. I don't know. So they were trying to fix it. I think it was until 1 or 2 p.m. So we told them, like, you know what? If you haven't fixed it already, just use all your force to make it better in Sava Center, in the venue, main venue, so for the conference to make it work. So they switched and they keep adding the access points across Sava Center. So during the conference, it had its issues, but it worked. But it worked, was slow on someone, but, at least worked a little bit.
Yeah, I actually saw some people comment that they were, that the Wi-Fi outage was actually beneficial for them because then it gave them more time to just talk and hash things out.
That's right.
The contributor day.
Exactly. And that's where we realized that's where you see the power community, power of our community. Everyone was like, okay, so Wi-Fi is not working. So what are we going to do? Like, someone told me, I wasn't there. I was in the setup of the Sava Center. So someone told me that the marketing team or design team, they start like pulling out pens, talking. Everyone, yes, let's do this. Everyone enjoyed it. And as you said, like people were used not being online for more chatting and more just like the social bonding. So our community is amazing.
So organizing an event for 2,000 attendees, what were some of the, and leading up to WordCamp EU, what were some of the major challenges that maybe you, your team, or some of the other teams involved overcame?
So I would say that WordCamp Europe, we change our location, states, and everything, like every year. So that was one of the biggest challenges. Just providing a lot of cool stuff and just introducing your own community, presenting your country and everything, just defending your flag and everything. So that was really cool and super challenging as well, because we had to we had to educate people in Serbia what to expect. It was issues with customs. It was a lot of things that we had to cover. And, you keep raising the bar every year. So for Serbia and this WordCamp, we introduced a couple of new stuff, like workshops. We introduced meeting point, info booth. Jenny introduced a new team completely. So there was a lot of bits and pieces coming together, and 50, 60 organizers, 11 teams. Man, it was a lot of things covered.
WordCamp US is kind of starting to do this, and one thing they do differently is they have it in the host city for 2 years in a row. But WordCamp Europe, one of the cool things about what you guys are doing over there is that not only is it the largest WordCamp on that side of the pond, on that side of the world, but it's as much to do about WordPress as it is the host city it's being hosted in, where there's so much. It's not just about WordPress. It's about the city. Look at our city. Look at everything our city has to offer and the amount of pride that the local team and organizers have in that city, showing off the flag and some of the sights and sounds of the local area. And I think WordCamp US is moving in that direction with its host cities, but WordCamp EU has certainly set the bar for that.
Yeah. And we are super happy now when you see a lot of people just showing up in your city, your country for the first time. And if you're judging by Twitter and the feedback that I got, and people loved it. People loved it and really enjoyed it. The food, the culture, everyone just super welcoming. And you know what? As I said, I'll keep repeating myself. This has been an amazing journey and amazing experience.
We need to get that Serbia band over here for US. See if they do an international tour.
I said someone on Twitter said, like, you know what? These guys should be official WordCamp band. Should follow us. And
yeah, in the middle of jamming, they're throwing WordPress swag out to the crowd. And by the way, I saw on Twitter that their life was complete because they saw a bunch of WordPressers actually start a mosh pit. So that was.
Oh yeah. So when they asked, like, hey, what do you want? What do you want, like, for us to play? So they were like super welcoming, super super open for all kinds of suggestions. And I had in the back of my mind the first WordCamp Europe party when we had like the amazing music with rock and metal and the Prodigy mix, and there was like a lot of going on. So I'm like, you know what? Just they sent like the spreadsheet with 1,000 songs and said like, yeah, pick I think 100. I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that. Like I have and setting the mood and just like go over the rock and metal and finish up with they had that amazing Prodigy mix. And when I saw, as you said, like when I saw Mosh Pit and my brother in center, it was like, just like, oh yeah, this is a good party. So
so let's see if has the city already been. Yeah, this. What's the next year city going to be for WordCamp EU?
For EU, we are going to Berlin, Germany.
Berlin, that's right. Berlin, Germany. Gotcha.
Berlin, Germany.
Wow, I bet. See, now that there's going to be a lot of history. I mean, that's going to be, people will go there. Yeah. There's going to be a lot of history to take in, not only just with WordPress, but within the city. That's going to be a special event for a lot of people.
And we have a local team. Did an amazing job with the application. They have 3 meetups monthly, WordPress meetups, and amazing community. A lot of people already, you know, just super hyped, like, yeah, let's do this. And Bernard and the rest of the local team did an amazing job, as I said, in their application. So everything is pretty much ready. And I can see the exact same thing with me last year. So after Paris, I was just like super happy and just super pumped, like, yeah, let's get this one rolling. So on our closing remarks, we announced that I'll be the global lead for the next year. Bernard will be the local lead. And we announced the website, 2019 Europe WordCamp org. And we opened the call for organizers. And let me get to the latest data, but I think that 51 organizers application already. So you know what? I'm already looking forward to Berlin and us being there. So.
Imagine that, John. Now, John, Berlin, Germany. Mm-hmm. Maybe next year you'll get to WordCamp EU. But imagine going there, taking in the sights and sounds of the city, that history, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. going on a Germany-inspired beer tour where you just go to all the little taverns and drink beer mm-hmm. from actual beer steins.
That would be awesome. definitely super, super looking forward to it. And I have family. I have heritage there. Jacobi is definitely, that's like a German German name. And so I'm excited. Carrie went to Germany last year when she was in Gdansk. She drove over just to go check it out. And so I got lots of good photos and pictures, and we said we'd go back. So now we have a reason to.
Yeah. Definitely got a reason to. And you can go amongst friends, though you'll be surrounded by friends.
Yeah.
So other than that, any other kind of highlights or any other questions, John, maybe you have for Milan before we let him go? It's pretty late there in Serbia.
I suppose it is. I mean, my biggest WordCamp EU sort of question, I guess, especially, and you kind of touched on it earlier, but and it kind of maybe segues nicely too, is with an event this size, and at least in the WordPress space, I know there are bigger events that pull in tens of thousands of people and stuff, but you know, we are still a very volunteer-based and sort of experiential, on-the-fly sort of group. And Andrea Middleton had summarized and tweeted the organizer count, speaker count, sponsor count, all that kind of stuff. And so my question for you, and kind of knowing the answer, is for you, how much of a time commitment was this on any given day, any given week? And you've got a big team of everyone. How much time do you think you spent helping organize WordCamp EU this year?
Well, I must say it's the time well spent. I started using Toggle and started like measuring for the first month. And you know what? I started using like just an example, like yes, every meeting. So this meeting went like for an hour. This one, I sent a couple of emails. This like the side presentation. I summarized like for 1 week, and I was like, you know what? And yeah, maybe it's enough because especially for the local team and for the meetings that we had with our vendors, with the catering, the venues. Everything pretty much happened during the day, you know, and like your best hours, during the day. So I'm not sure about Toll, but I know that just guys in Valet and I'm working Mason, and they were like super, super open and super, full of understanding for my time, and that went really well. And I did not measure, but I assume that it's like my full week as it worked, like let's say 40 hours. I think that in beginning I was spending around 20 hours in the beginning, but how the event came closer, I was just like more and more, and just like starting June, I was like everything full commitment to working here.
But it's not just you, right? I mean, everyone else is putting in a massive amount of time, so it is a lot happens behind the scenes to make an event of this size without a hitch.
Yeah, and after I think during the after party, and now we started with our debrief, just like everyone talking about it's something that you've been working for, let's say 9 months, 10 months, and now it's done, and you're super sad, and you're super sad. You want to keep going, but here especially, we ended up with a great feeling of fulfillment and everything, right? Because you open the call for organizers, and a lot of the organizers already filled in for the next year.
Yeah,
and
right.
That was for us something that says like, you know what, these people either they're crazy or they're like super passionate community. So.
Probably a little bit of both to be this passionate about stuff. You probably, I lump myself in that group, and to be that passionate, you probably do have to be a little bit eccentric, if you will.
Yesterday we had our last local team meeting, so we've been having those weekly starting September. And I asked them, like, just like we did the rounds, and everyone said like, yeah, like, what do you think about the whole thing? Everyone like, yeah, super pumped. Everything. And I finished up with a question like, if it's something that we need to do like all over again, would you do it? And everyone, like 9 out of 9, said like, yes.
Like, it's awesome. So my last question, and I don't think that there are numbers. Maybe you have numbers for this. I don't think that anybody has numbers for this, though. But it may be just with your feeling of it for having been involved with WordCamp Europe for as long as you have been. How many organizers, volunteers, and contributors this year do you think hadn't done previous years? Like how, and maybe the easy way to ask my question is how diverse or how new were organizers, but I'm curious, how many people are repeat organizers and how many people that this was their first time?
I'm not sure about the exact number, but the feeling is that I think that half of the organizers are pretty much here for the first year.
Wow.
The half of the organizers. Another half is just us that's been here for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And we will have a great switch. And I'm super confident with next year's theme already, because mm-hmm. we have people that are prepared. And it's not like everyone is leaving and we need to start mm-hmm. all over again. Like, no, we focused this year on the knowledge sharing and a couple mm-hmm. of people that's new that they won't be joining us for 2019 already talked when they announced that I'll be global lead. They talked to me and we prepared someone to take over the team for the next year.
That's smart.
That is something that I'm super proud and super happy about. And so next year, will be amazing mm-hmm. in terms of the organizers. And now when I see the form, when I see the poll valley that people are filling in, there's some new faces. Mm-hmm. And also there are a couple of people that joining the organizing team all over again. Even people that started the work in Europe. So yeah, it's gonna be super challenging.
That's right. That was one of the things that you guys really, I thought was really well executed year over year is having information about what was going on next year for everyone right away. Originally, I really hoped that we adopted that on the U.S. side, and we have. It's really nice to know and be able to plan ahead. And far enough ahead where you can spend some time doing something that you might not otherwise be able to do if you had less time to plan it. So it's great. I'm excited for next year. I'm super excited.
Yeah. So we also need to be like super careful. You can't like promise like, yeah, we're going to have that many mm-hmm. tracks, or we're going to have workshops and everything. No, we started really slow, saying like, you know, just these are the dates. This is the city where we're going to. And what we did, we also said that we're going to have tickets released on September 1st for Berlin. So, you know, with that amount of information, everyone like super happy. They could plan. Mm-hmm. When you have like the date set, you have the venue set, you have the website they can subscribe to. You know what? Everyone
That's awesome.
So, Milan, I want to thank you very much for stopping by on the show here.
Thanks.
I know it's late in the evening here, and from big thanks from me, and I bet a lot of other people for doing your part and spending so much of your time volunteering to put this awesome event together. WordCamp EU was an excellent event by all accounts, from everything I've read. Especially that band. I got to go back to that band. But thanks a lot for everything you do with the WordPress community. And I'll give you the last words, and then you can share information on how people might be able to get in touch with you. Maybe a little insight on the Serbian WordPress community.
Yeah. So the last thoughts, like, please visit the website, 2019EuropeWordCamp.org. Subscribe. It's open on September 1st. If you haven't already, call for organizers will be open until end of July. We would like to see you all in Berlin. And last call. You can find me on Twitter. I really need to change that one. you know what? I don't know. Like, it was really cool during the time of the Counter-Strike and everything. I really thought that it's like unique, but I need to change my handles. It's Lancia 86. Lancia 86. So yeah, whatever we can.
We'll have the link to that. We have a link to your account in the show notes. Make it easier for our listeners.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. All the best to you and kick butt, you know, for WordCamp Europe 2019.
Woohoo!
Right, enjoy the rest of your evening, Milan.
We will. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Good night. Have a good evening. And let's see, outside of that, so there were some things at WordCamp, especially one of the most notable ones was the keynote by Matt Mulloway, and he also did a little bit of a Q&A. And one of the first things that Matt Mulloway stated in his keynote was an announcement of where WordCamp US is going to be for 2019 and 2020, and that will be in the great city of St. Louis, Missouri.
That's exciting. Where you might go to that one.
Baby back ribs for your meal, you know, or something. So, St. Louis has great barbecue, so
they do.
Maybe that's why they were chosen. I don't know. Or maybe they just had an awesome application, which most generally you have to have if you're going to be
having
the host.
Having awesome barbecue on your application probably doesn't hurt.
yeah, sauce stains, all that stuff. But yeah, so WordCamp, so St. Louis, a bit more centrally located in the U.S. for both the East and West Coast. Plentiful airport, big airport. Has cool. Pretty much everything you would need for a large event like a WordCamp US.
Going to be cold, though. It's going to be another Philly. I mean, it was cold a little bit. Was it cold this year? I don't remember. Last year? I don't remember. But
I don't know last year, but the year before, it was actually not bad. You know, it was sunny. It was chilly. I mean, it's December. So, but, you know, St. Louis is in the middle of the country, near the middle of the country. And in December, that could mean 60-degree days, or it could be 20 degrees below zero with an ice storm. Who knows? I mean, it's but again, that raises issues, raises the discussion again as to having WordCamp US in December to begin with. You know, why does it have to be December? Why can't we change it to something like October, maybe a month before? Because December, you got all your holiday plans, you got your office Christmas parties, you got all this other stuff with family. Mm-hmm. No, in the beginning of the month, now you get this big WordCamp event. It certainly hasn't hurt attendance by any means having it in December. I mean, they're still cranking out tickets and sponsors and people attending and speakers. But just for a convenience factor, I think it'd be convenient for a lot more people if it was not in December, you know, maybe earlier on in the year.
Mm-hmm. I think you're probably right.
But
well, it would be a lot less convenient for contributors because I contribute to the procrastination factor of having until the end of the year to get stuff done. And so, you know, if it was in the beginning of the year, it would still be just as cold and less and just as inconvenient. But if it was in October, sometimes in Wisconsin, the beginning of November is worse weather than December. So I'm right there with you there.
I like October.
And I don't know that
beginning of October, I think, would be a perfect time.
Beginning or middle of October, if we were going to try and cherry pick a date, I would probably be where I would prefer for it to land on an annual basis also. But a lot of camps want to have events in September and October for the same reasons. So it is, in one way, having it in December is kind of nice because there's not a lot of competition for events. So I get pros and cons, I think, both ways. But we've gotten pretty lucky so far with December WordCamp US's. There was 1 year in Philly where it was pretty bad, right? I think I missed that one. I don't remember.
There was 1 year flying into Philly where I had the worst landing of my life to traumatize me. But
I remember you talking about that.
But
those are fun. I had a crazy landing like that going to New York. Yeah, I think we've commiserated about that before.
Yeah, those are fun. Maybe for you. I haven't flown since, so to talk about how fun that was.
You will again. Someday you will.
Someday I will. So one of the things I mentioned about Mantecino is I thought it'd be interesting to see what he would include as far as information regarding Gutenberg. And he used this opportunity as sort of a summertime update, a halfway point, as you will, to WordCamp US on the work that's been done on Gutenberg. And he produced a lot more information than I thought he would. And he actually laid out a Gutenberg roadmap. So we'll just go down here. And we'll go through the roadmap with you starting in June 2018, this month. He talks about how new features in Gutenberg will be freed. Hosts and agencies and teachers will be invited to opt in sites they have influence over to Gutenberg. Ooh. Opt in for WP admin users on WordPress.com. And mobile app support will be built into the Aztec editor across iOS and Android devices. So that's what it's looking
that's
like
a lot.
In June.
That's 10 days.
Yeah, boy, that's 10 days. How much of that has already happened?
I don't know. Lot.
So July next month, the plan was a 4.9 dot whatever release. It's looking like .7 will include that call out we've talked about. Strong invitation to install either Gutenberg or the Classic Editor plugin.
You know, we've talked about that before. I'm not talking about it again.
Yes. There will be an opt out for WP admin users on WordPress.com. And it would do heavy triage and bug gardening, getting the blockers to zero. And by the way, for that opt-out on WordPress.com, they're going to have the ability to allow users to explain why or provide reasonings as to why they're opting out. So they're going to track that. And they're going to explore expanding Gutenberg beyond the post into site customization, which we've talked about before. The extended roadmap beyond just the editor is to move Gutenberg into the site customization area. Mm-hmm. So they're going to look into that in near the end of July. And then in August and beyond, they hope to have all the critical issues resolved, integration with Calypso, offering opt-in for users. They hope to have at least 100,000 sites with Gutenberg actively installed on them with at least 250,000 posts made by Gutenberg. And they will start to begin the core merge, beginning with the 5.0 release cycle, which will come with beta releases, RC releases, translations, all the usual things that come with the release cycle. And a plan for a mobile version of Gutenberg by the end of the year. So you'll be able to create blocks, move them around, do most of what you can do in Gutenberg, but right there on your mobile device. That's a lot of stuff crammed into the next 10 days and the 2 months after that. And so far, there's been 1,764 issues that have been open, with 1,115 that have been closed. Doesn't mean they've been fixed or what, but you know that's so what the numbers are looking like so far. And they're hoping, if everything goes according to plan, which it never does, or rarely does, they hope to have WordPress 5.0 ready in time for an August release, or at least by the end of summer. Who knows if that's going to happen? We'll have to wait and see. But it looks like, based on the roadmap, it's a pretty aggressive roadmap now on churning this out and trying to get Gutenberg to a point where it's released by the end of summer. So there you have it. I thought maybe that we might be able to see it by the time WordCamp US is around, maybe later in the year, maybe just before WordCamp US, we'll see 5.0. But this is much more aggressive than that.
I agree. It's a lot of work. And thankfully, and to anyone that's listening, the team of contributors that are just Gutenberg focused is just so huge that they have the power to move that quickly and get that much done. That's very tightly focused on getting Gutenberg into core or getting it at least released. But man, integrating it into the iOS app and everything else, there's a lot to change up. And 30 days to introduce a feature to all of the WordPress.com users as opt-in, and then flip the switch, and then and then now it's opt-out. It's not a lot of time either for millions of users that are on WordPress.com. I doubt, but I wonder if that includes VIP. If they force Gutenberg for everyone, or if they just say not for VIP. VIP's, you know, unique and beautiful, or what they're going to do with it. It's aggressive. I agree.
Yeah, and you know what I'm waiting for is to monitor the forums and the feedback area of when it becomes opt out for users on WordPress.com, because this it's going to create a storm. It's going to be. Maybe it's that's the evil inside of me, but I want to say it's going to be fun to watch. But,
oh, goodness.
But it's going to be...
It will make for interesting news.
Exactly. And in some ways entertaining.
Yes.
As people blow up and announce that the world is burning, the earth's on fire, because now what happened to my editor? Good God.
It's just like the GDPR stuff, I think, is the for a very small group of people... may be moderately excited about the thing. There are things about the GDPR implementation that I still don't like, but there's not a whole lot of kerfluffle in the world about those things being introduced into WordPress. And so in the grand scheme of things, it's going to be okay. But there will be a vocal minority passionate group that's going to have opinions on things. It's good. We need both. It's healthy to have both.
And by the way, you mentioned GDPR, which reminds me of an epic joke that Matt Mulloway told or performed on his keynote presentation, where somebody was getting ready to ask him a question. And he says, before I answer your question, will you please accept this cookie? And he handed the person who asked him, I think it was Morton. Morton Rand Hendrickson, the cookie, which kind of, you know, is a play on, if you visit a website nowadays, you'll see, hey, would you please accept the use of cookies, you know, in order to browse this website? I thought it was an epically hilarious joke. Of course, a few people were very upset about it that work on the privacy components of WordPress, and they thought it was kind of a slap in the face to the work that they've done in WordPress, which a small part of me can see that side of things, but the other two-thirds of me just thought it was a hilarious joke with no ill intent involved.
Yep, I agree. I mean, everyone's entitled to feel how they feel, and so that is above all the most important thing. But my feeling is I pretty much agree with you that and knowing Matt, I think the way that we both do, that nothing like that is intended or meant to be of any kind of ill anything. It is only to draw attention to the hilarity of the entire situation. It reminded me a lot of something I couldn't find online that I'm sure that you, because we have a similar sense of humor, that you will appreciate, is there's a part in the movie of the 40-Year-Old Virgin with where Steve Carell pulls a rubber ear out of his pocket to, like, make a joke to, like, one of the kids about something. And they say, like, did you have a rubber ear in your pocket this entire time? And, like, that meant that Matt had a cookie on stage with him, like, waiting for that joke to be made. Like, it's just, what if nobody ever made the cookie joke? Matt would have just had a cookie on stage that he didn't use, and then he would just get off stage with, and there would be no cookie joke. But he waited. You have to have the prop in order for that joke to work, which meant that there was a cookie that Matt had the entire time somewhere. So it was very well executed. And the thing about that joke is that it's so good that people will have to steal it because it's really, really funny.
And it also ignited a little bit of a debate that it was a biscuit, not a cookie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, then they're named bad anyways. We should probably call cookies like a breadcrumb or something else, technically speaking.
But yeah, glued together breadcrumbs.
Right. But please accept this biscuit. It would probably be the better... the GDPR, the better cookie disclaimer on your website.
Except it for the biscuit. Some brisket. By the way, I want to highlight to Sarah Gooding, who attended WordCamp EU, published two great articles about one specifically about the Gutenberg team panel.
Hi, Sarah. Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. The information they shared on Gutenberg. She wrote up a great post on about that on WP Tavern, and also insight on the WordCamp Europe 2018 Contributor Day and how folks handled it, even with the Wi-Fi outage. And that was basically there's a 6-hour time difference, and my sleep schedule and the way I do things did not lend to me seeing anything live. However, David Bissett, I'll give you a shout out. You did a hell of a job doing coverage and tweeting of the WordCamp EU event. And props to you for sharing that information to so many other people. You did a great job covering it. And did you have a chance to watch any of the sessions live?
I just cherry picked the ones that I wanted to tune into. So, and it's,
were you awake that early?
No, I wasn't. Okay. All right. I wasn't.
Cause it's like, I know, Matt's was about, I think it was after lunch. I think it was 2 PM. So you had to be up at like 8 AM or something.
Yep.
No, 8 AM. That's no go for me.
I think last year I stayed up or I watched quite a bit. But this year it was other stuff going on, chores, weekend things, other random stuff. And then like, well, this is all stuff I already know about and I'm missing out on Contributor Day. So I'll be heads down in other stuff. So did you watch anything? Nothing at all?
Nope, I didn't watch anything at all. I just watched David tweeting from bed and then I fell asleep. So that's how WordCamp EU usually goes for me sometimes.
Yeah, I went back and watched highlights just based on what everybody else had said. So
that's going to do it for, I mean, I don't, I've looked at my feed reader and there's probably stuff going on, but I didn't see anything that popped out of me. I know Morten Rand Hendrickson, he released a starter theme and a build process combined together called WP Rig. So folks should check that out. We have a link to it in the show notes and I wrote a bit about it on the Tavern. And there's a SketchUp, SketchPress.
It's been around for a while, but it's super cool.
Resources from 10Up to help with mock-ups, doing design mock-ups for the back end. And also includes Gutenberg blocks. In fact, even the Make WordPress design team is using that tool. And other than that, there's not a ton of stuff going on that's really hitting the headlines, so to speak. No. So,
yeah,
but we'll see now after WordCamp EU has ended, everybody's gonna take a deep breath and we'll start seeing things crank up again here in the WordPress news cycle.
Yep. The only thing that I've got is WordCamp Grand Rapids is coming. I think is not this coming weekend, but the weekend after. So I could still talk about that on next week's show.
And I imagine you will be attending, sir.
I am, and so I was going to make a comment about WordCamp Europe, but I was asked to be their keynote because it's a plugin it's a WordCamp that's all about tools and plugins. And
that's right.
But that was the one thing I was going to say about WordCamp Europe that I forgot, that now that Milan's not here, that it doesn't really matter as much. But since we talked about Matt's keynote at WordCamp Europe, given that this is a WordCamp on a separate arm of the WordPress community, I wish that they had a different, like a closer keynote, someone that could, Matt could, and it's not being critical, I'm not being critical of any of it, but to have a local person or a European leader contingent, somebody where Matt could hand that keynote or those slides or that Gutenberg vision to a European instead to give that keynote. Not that it's up to somebody to do it or not do it, but you know, if there was an African WordCamp Africa, I would expect for someone from that continent to be the representative keynote for that entire region. So that was the only thing I was going to say, because, you know, when it comes to plugins or tools or even in the Midwest, like these are sort of my people. And I was really excited to see that was what they were doing with Grand Rapids. And so it's if there's any kind of keynote that I would give, I think that it would be something geared towards an audience like that. That was my only thought that I was going to bring up.
So the EU version of Matt Mullenweg is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all other episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, J-E-F-F-R-0. And John?
Twitter and GitHub at JJJ, since I never was able to get that AOL keyword we talked about before. So go back to the Twitters, I guess.
Okay. Jacoby, what are we going to do with you? So everybody, enjoy the rest of your week. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon. Say bye, John.
Bye, John.